right on time. And this meeting is being recorded. My name is Bill Spaeth. I'm with Sarasota County Planning. And so if everybody can find a seat, I think there are a few minutes in with the chairs here. Hopefully everybody can find a seat. I want to thank the Reverend for allowing us to meet and have this public workshop here, a more convenient location for the group out here. Yeah, there's a few more seats up front here. Again, my name is Bill Spaeth with Sarasota County Planning. And I'm here to present the basic application that's been filed for a publicly initiated comprehensive plan amendment. The process that this goes through, I'll kind of go over real quickly, but we are not in the actual comprehensive plan amendment process at this time. This is really a first step to go to the board to determine whether or not we will actually be directed to work on this publicly initiated comprehensive plan amendment. So, in stepping through the presentation here, the amendment description, which there are two that are currently out there right now. There's this one, which is the application to initiate a publicly initiated amendment, which happens to have CPA 2019-C. The other comprehensive plan amendment that maybe a lot of you attended a workshop several months ago is actually CPA 2018-C. So you do have to know the difference, and that is a privately initiated plan amendment. The distinction here is that this is a map amendment, so it's going to change some of the maps that are part of the comprehensive plan versus the one that you heard a few months ago, which is a text amendment, which applies to all hamlets. So it doesn't have a map component to it. But it applies to all the lands that are designated hamlet on these maps that I'll be showing you here in a minute. By the way, in the back, there's been a couple of handouts. The first one is just basically what the Rural Heritage Estate RMA policy says, which is on this sheet. These were kind of on the chairs. And then this handout is the two maps that are involved with this case. So, the only other thing is, this is the public notice card that was sent around, and I encourage everybody to please sign the sign-in sheets that are in the back there. So with that, the actual application description. As I said, a publicly initiated comprehensive plan amendment application. It's modifying the resource management area maps. It involves 6,000 acres at the northwest corner of Fruitville Road and Verna Road. It's changing the designation of those lands from the Village Open Space RMA to the Rural Heritage Estate RMA. And that's, again, the single sheet of policies that were on your chairs. The VOS RMA provides for an option for said lands to develop under the 2050 form of hamlet land use. I think you're all familiar with that. The Rural Heritage RMA recognizes and supports the existing pattern of very low density, large lot estate development, ag and equestrian uses. So that's kind of the description The attachments to the actual document included over 20 signatures of the registered voters per the county code 9485. That's how this publicly initiated comprehensive plan amendment application was filed. Becky Ietch, on behalf of the Myakka Community Club, submitted this application with those signatures attached. The reality, there were like over 60 signatures. We were able to verify 47 of them as registered voters, which is obviously more than enough. The maps that are involved, as I just described, are the RMA 3 map with the subject area redesignated rural heritage estate. That's actually included with the application that was submitted, as well as the existing RMA 3 map that still have the hamlet land use designation. There's an application narrative, which I'm sure many of you probably have already read. There were supportive statements included with the application that supported the 5 and 10 acre developments. There were public comments originating from earlier neighborhood meetings that were held to discuss the possibility of what to do. And then there was a specific map showing the specific subject lands that are a part of this application. Is everybody still hear me? Am I holding this too close or too far?
Speak closer.
Okay, this is the process. Hopefully not. Maybe I hold it up like this. So this is the basic process of what we're going through here today and kind of in the next few months here. The first step is obviously the submittal of the application, which occurred on March 21st. This is the public workshop scheduled, which was May 13th. And you know, I'll get into kind of a description of this in a minute. The Planning Commission is the next step, and it, at this point, is penciled in for June 20th, and those are held at the planning, at the County Administration Building down on Ringling Boulevard. The board considers the application material and recommendation, and just so we're clear, you know, the Planning Commission will take the input from this meeting, obviously the application, anything written and submitted, so anything submitted as it relates to this application, and all of that goes to the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission, at a public meeting, where they will receive public input as well, will then make a recommendation to the full county board. Again, that is not a recommendation as to whether or not this should be approved. It's whether or not a comprehensive plan amendment should be started. And then it goes to the board, and the board kind of decides that. They basically decide, again, after discussion at board level, after receiving this input, after receiving what the Planning Commission says, then they will decide whether or not staff should start working on a comprehensive plan amendment as outlined here. So again, I'm just reiterating this. This is not the decision point, this is actually just the starting point. And then the board will authorize to proceed or not. So what's the scope of the amendment? Touched on this a couple times here. There are two maps. RMA 1 map is the first map. That is actually where the property is shown on, as village/open space RMA, and it needs to be changed to rural heritage estate RMA, according to this application. And the second map is the RMA 3, which is a detailed land use designation map of the village open space RMA area. And that'll become obvious here in a minute. So this is the first map, the RMA 1. Again, these were on some of the handouts that were done. Up in the upper corner there, it's circled, you know, where this is involved, which is this corner here, the 6,000 acres. So zooming in on that area, the red dotted line here is that 6,000 acres. So the map as you see it here is with it as village open space RMA. The proposed change would involve changing that to rural heritage RMA, which is the darker yellow. The second map involved is RMA 3. Again, this is a blow up, and it's a map that shows the land uses within the village open space RMA. And RMA, by the way, is resource management area. So again, looking at that upper corner, zooming in, the red dashed line again shows the area in this purple, which is the hamlet designation. And the proposed change changes that to rural heritage estate. So what's going to happen in order to do that is we've tentatively identified some of the basics, obviously. It's going to involve looking at the residential capacity for the county, because effectively, if you don't do hamlet, then the capability of how many units can be out here drops. If the hamlet on 6,000 acres could do 2,400 units, then dropping it down to the rural heritage would roughly make it 1,200 units. So it's a 1,200 unit drop. It's just the result that needs to be looked at. The other portions of this are the form. It's something we do have to look at. There's not a lot of anticipated impact to that. And then the fiscal neutrality question is always there. Of course, reducing number of units should not raise fiscal neutrality questions, but it's something we have to answer in actually preparing the comprehensive plan amendment. So with that, with the recognition that we are recording this, so we do need people to come forward with questions or statements so that we can clearly get them recorded. And it's open for questions at this point. No, that's a different.
I'm sorry. Could he come forward like you asked?
Repeat your repeat.
Because this is my deaf ear. I have no idea what
I'm saying.
The question was, is there going to be anything presented on the other case, the 2018 C case, which is the privately initiated amendment? The answer to that is no. Basically, this is a public workshop on this amendment, and again, on whether or not to start this amendment. The privately initiated comprehensive plan amendment has already started. That was the workshop that was held several months ago. They've actually submitted that application, and it's in sufficiency review at this time. It's still not a full and complete application. So once that's received, then that will start through the process. However, they're not in a process as to whether or not they should start. They're already in the process of doing a comprehensive plan amendment. So it's, of course, at the very beginning, but still. Any other questions? Yes?
Yes, a few years back when we had the issue with the light poles coming down Burner Road and up Fruitville Road rather than through Lakewood Ranch, there was an organization called ECHO. That stood for, I think, East County Homeowners Association. Is that still around, or was that just for that purpose only? Does anybody know that? Does anybody remember that? Because I gave some money to them, and we beat that. So, I mean, they did their job.
So the question is whether or not there's an East County...
Is it still active? Yeah.
What is it called, though? East County...
ECHO.
East County Homeowners Association.
And what they did was they made sure that the light poles didn't come up Burner Road, up Fruitville Road.
Power lines.
Instead, they brought them on Lorraine Road, which you can see, the big tall telephone poles, which was a lot shorter route to that.
This is the high power line.
Yes,
you're talking
about. Okay. But I'm just saying, this was the last time that we had an issue out here that I know of. And we ended up winning because it only made sense.
And I'm not aware of that situation.
You're not aware of that?
I'm not aware of the organization, no.
Susan, speak up.
Are you aware of the...
I can answer your question. This is Susan Shetley. Yeah, that probably makes sense, Bill.
I was one of the people that helped spearhead the fight against that, along with a bunch of other people that lived out here. ECHO, East County Homeowners Association, is not really in existence anymore. We sort of closed everything down. We also had the Gumsley Preservation Association that was another nonprofit that we formed, again, to help fight that. It's still on the books, but it's not been active. I've been thinking that we might want to look at reactivating that one as a way of gathering donations and money, because we are going to probably need some expert testimony at some point if we manage to get the county to let this go through the process. And while I've got this, do you mind if I say a few things? Okay. Again, Susan Shetley, I've lived out here for almost 25 years. I moved to Sarasota County because it had the rural area out here, and I could still work downtown. At that time, I worked 10 years in the county attorney's office, and I could still travel back and forth and do that kind of work and then still have my rural lifestyle. The developments that are being proposed out east of us are going to be devastating to our quality of life and our lifestyle. I can't honeycoat that. It's going to be a massive impact, whether it's a regular hamlet or the hamlet that Mr. Krebs is proposing. If you care about this, we've got to convey to the county commission to please let the process go forward. Let their staff look at this. Let them help compare the impacts and the positives and the negatives of the two approaches. Otherwise, we're just shut down dead in the water. We can work on attacking some of the other proposals. But this is our best bet for conveying to the county commission the things that are important to us, why they're important to us, and the benefits that this area provides to the entire county. We're not doing this just for us. It's going to benefit the entire county in a lot of ways. So I just urge you, this is a long process. This early part is extremely important. If we want to have a chance of this even going through the process and airing all our issues and having them be fully considered by the board, we've got to be involved all the way through, and particularly the first part of this process. Thank you.
How is the process of the first amendment
how does the process of the progress of the First Amendment, the workshop you already had, affect the progress of this amendment?
Well, theoretically, they're not attached at all, but obviously they're involving Hamlets, both of them. So, to a certain degree, they're obviously linked. But the one does not depend on the other. So there's... No. No, it does not. What the board does, I can't tell you. Maybe on that point, for information, people have questions about the timeline. I can kind of touch on that. Does somebody have a question here?
I have a question. I want to know the impact studies that have been done on Fruitville Road. There must be transportation impact studies done on Fruitville Road, and what this is going to do to tie up all these neighborhoods further down and further out. It's going to stop. The truck traffic is going to be immense. The county won't face up to any of this, as far as I understand. They have no designated plan to cover road contingencies that we're going to face out here. We're going to be locked out here to 45-minute transport to get to 75?
Well, not so much on this application. That would really be a result necessarily of this application, which is actually reducing housing number of units. It would potentially relate to the other privately initiated amendment.
Even with 1,200 houses going out here, the trucks moving up and down Brookville are going to create the massive boondoggle. The county is not even considered as a hazard.
My name is Karen Godwin. I've lived out here since 1975. I was one of the first five houses on Fruitville Road. This morning, I left to go into town at 10:15. I live right off of Fruitville Road. By the time I got to the entrance of Oak Ford, I had already had 9 dump trucks going east. I've already been rear-ended pulling into my driveway. My son got rear-ended and totaled his truck pulling into our driveway. The traffic is atrocious. I can't even fathom what it's going to be like with 1,200, let alone 4,000. That's 10,000 cars more on the road. It's just unfathomable to me how this can even be considered in our little area. Where's the water going to come from? We've been getting told for years to conserve water.
No, wait, but you're for this. This reduces
the... Right, but that's what I'm saying. But this is what we need to get the county commissioners to say, hey, you know, you can't just pull water out of your pocket.
I know, but I want to make sure that you're for...
Yeah, I'm for this, to get it cut down. I know we can't eliminate it, but the least of them is better.
Yes.
My name is Mike Katsalis, and I'd like to know what the county is doing as far as drainage. We already have a problem with the drainage. My property becomes a retention pond when it rains. And 1,200 houses is even going to worsen the situation. So what are they doing about it?
Well, the stormwater management would be analyzed with any actual development proposal. It won't be analyzed with a comprehensive plan amendment to that degree, especially when you're reducing intensity. If you were adding intensity, it'd be a different story. But the comprehensive plan does call for proper management of stormwater with all development. But again, that's not changed.
Am I under the understanding that this property will be developed one way or the other? It won't be left the way it is?
Over time, the likelihood is that it will be developed at some point. Whether that's 50 or more years away, we don't know.
So is this a liquor
deal? No, again, this application was filed largely in response to the previous application that you may have attended the workshop for, which is seeking to increase the number of units allowed. This application is seeking to reduce the number of units allowed on the property.
But you're still planning on developing it, though.
There's no way of knowing when or if or how there's development proposals.
One thing I'd like to add is that right now I've got a 200-foot well on my property. When they put 1,000 houses out here, guess what they're all going to want to do? Water their lawns. Am I going to have to drill a 400-foot well? And who's going to bear the cost of that?
It's a valid question.
Well, yeah.
And those types of things are looked at, but...
Well, looked at. That doesn't help us get a deeper well.
That's true.
I just have a simple question. I got emailed that they're changing an ordinance, and I wasn't quite sure what they meant about removing the traffic study from development, that taking the traffic out of being consideration for looking development, that's coming up in 2 weeks, I think. They had a meeting that was not a public meeting 2 days ago or something like that. What does that have to do with?
I don't know what the basis of that is, but...
Okay, it just said they were going to the Sierra Club was putting out information about it, that they're going to be changing it. It sounded like, when you read it, that they would take the traffic study out of new development, that they wouldn't be doing traffic studies. That's scary. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I won't ask that.
I'm not aware of that.
I'm Paige Farr. I live on Rolls Road right across from the fire station. I can tell you what's going to happen with your wells and your septic. The county is going to want to bring municipal water and sewer, and they're going to want us to all hook up to it, and I'm against that. We all take care of our own wells and our septic, and we haven't had any problems. And why should we have to pay when we already have all these at our disposal?
The municipal water comes from the Verna well field, too.
Which is right there.
That's city.
Thank you. I'm Audie Bach from the Sarasota Soil and Water Conservation District. Is anybody else here from the Conservation District? If there is anyone, I can't talk. Sunshine laws. I would like to know if the county has done a study of whether 2,400 or 1,200 new homes are needed in East County, given the vast thousands that are being developed in South County and the other thousands that are being developed in the city of Sarasota. Do we even need more housing in this part of the world?
Well, that is one of the bullet points that would have to be looked at. As I said,
it has not been looked at yet.
No, it's part of the amendment preparation process. So if this is authorized by the board to proceed, then that is one of the items that has to be looked at. That has to be looked at for either of these cases that we're talking about.
I'd also like to say I was recently elected to Area 3 Deputy Vice President's position for the State Association of Conservation Districts, and I was told at the state meeting that Sarasota County is considered an urbanized county, but our mandate is to help preserve soil and water, and we're part of the Department of Agriculture, so we would hope that some agriculture will be preserved in Sarasota County.
Hello, my name is Brad Graybush. I have a couple questions. I think you might have answered when you answered Audie. In the 2050 comprehensive plan, when did that get established?
It was initiated prior to 2000, but it ended up getting adopted as a policy in 2002. It ended up going into code in 2004.
Okay. And did they do those impact studies?
Yes. The population analysis at that time was actually a large part of what the reason was for the 2050 plan. It's a whole explanation of that.
Okay, great. Now I'm into preserving a rural lifestyle. And I think people are entitled when they do the research and move into an area, you know, it's already established, the zoning's already established. So I just want to be proactive on this whole matter and not be reactionary. So what does the county need from us to move this plan forward? Like to have them make a decision, yes, we're going to move forward. What does the county exactly need from us?
Well, I don't have anything to do with that in terms of how you would provide your input. But your voice is important to any process. The board, you know, listens to people that attend their meetings. So it's important to attend those meetings.
I just want to, I sort of want to ask, what are they listening for? Is it the concerns that want to be fulfilled by the people that want to preserve a rural lifestyle, or I just don't know what they're listening for. Is it revenue? I just wonder how much value they place on people's right to have a rural lifestyle. You know, is it a value anywhere even heard of? You know, and then the last question is, when we do get it, they want to move forward, does the county give us an attorney to make the language of the plan that we're providing?
No. The application that's involved here is just a map change. There is no language change. It's basically just changing those two maps that I just described and changing the designation from hamlet to rural heritage. But actually, it's village open space, RMA, and it's changing to rural heritage, RMA, which is the language that's on this sheet here.
When the gentleman mentioned about the polls, we had a big meeting, and they wanted to do a heritage overlay. And during that, they said that we can sort of dictate the building rules, like, you know, can use pesticides, fertilizers, level lighting, energy efficient homes and stuff like that. Is that already imposed on the 2050 comprehensive plan, or if we get that rural heritage thing, do we have to write up all those codes and all that?
Any of the building codes are already written, but these are the policies that you're talking about with this application being applied to those 6,000 acres. It doesn't go beyond this at this point. Yes. So when somebody seeks to, let's say, change their zoning on their property to add additional units, they would have to comply with this policy and the zoning. So the zoning is like the next level down. The policy is overall. You can't violate the policy. And then the code is a lot more detail, like you're talking about, in terms of how do you do this kind of development.
Yeah.
And it's that you're talking about, which that's already in place. That'll depend on the type of zoning that's on the property and that. So a lot of this property is already zoned for 1 for 5 acres, 1 unit for 5 acres, or it was 1 for 10 acres. Actually, some of it is zoned for 1 for 160 acres. And that's beyond this. That's the next level down. And that's already in place on this property. So you have the comprehensive plan, which is policy, and next level down is the zoning. You can't do anything in zoning that violates policy. That's why this is the first step.
Pretty much along the same lines, thank you.
Per the timelines with the 2018 versus the 2019, if the private one gets completed first, does that negate the 2019, the public?
Well, that's an interesting chicken and egg kind of question. In the event that the board says yes to the privately initiated amendment, it's pretty much going the opposite direction of what this amendment is proposed. However, what again is happening here, you're not even at the point where you're doing the amendment yet. You're just at the point of where you're asking the board whether they would agree to process a comprehensive publicly initiated amendment. So the private one is not going to get to a final decision prior to the board hearing this request as to whether they should start this or not. So they're going to be aware of it, and they are already aware of this application as well as the other one. So it's not like they're not aware of these two applications having been filed.
Thank you, Bill. I'm Alexandra Coe. I'm the chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus of Sarasota County. Also an anthropologist, very involved in the preservation of agriculture and promoting rural lifestyles. One of the questions I have, Bill, is if this passes, what happens to the development rights of the property owners that are affected by this change? Do they get to transfer their development rights according to whatever development rights are awarded to them under the hamlet designation? Do they get to transfer that someplace else, or how will those TDRs work?
Well, that's a legal question. That's certainly a question that we can send up to the legal department.
Well, that could result in a lawsuit.
Which is why they're the ones that are going to have to answer that question. So the whole issue, if you get into the details of 2050 plan, it's an optional overlay. That's why the comprehensive plan still shows all of this property as rural, which is a one dwelling unit per 5 acre designation. So it's still that way today. The 2050 plan is an optional overlay. How that legal question gets determined, I can't really answer
that. That could affect the efforts of what everybody's trying to achieve.
Well, and certainly the board will seek legal counsel on that.
Yes, I'm Doug McCall. I just live out in here. You keep referring to the board. Could you tell me, are there any board members here tonight? Or who is the board? Who are they? What are you talking about when you say the board?
County commissioners.
That's the commissioners? You're calling the board?
Yep. Yeah, so the question is who is the board? The Board of County Commissioners, there's five of them. They're elected, actually they're now in the process of changing how those elections occur because they used to be elected countywide, and now there's going to be specific representations by specific districts. Right. That was just recently voted in.
They get to where they can't lose.
I don't have an answer for that. So, yeah. But what I'm talking about when I say board, it's the county commission, the Sarasota County Commission.
Thank you, Bill. My name is Mike Reynolds. I live off the single tree right over here. I guess I'm new to this process, but I'm gathering from all of us being here that we would prefer not to see that much density, or a lot of us would prefer to keep it more like it is now than not. So we should support at least getting this amendment. We should do everything we can to get this thing going. So, because otherwise we're in competition with the 2018, which just seems to be against most of our interests. I won't say all of ours, but most of ours. And then, Bill, what's the process for influencing the county on the construction of roads? Because that's probably a separate issue, right? They're both going to cause problems. We want to get the less density as possible, but we also want to influence the county as best we can, living out here at the end of the road system that's going to be polluted by this additional development. Thank you.
The only way I can answer that is involvement. The only way you influence elected officials is to be involved. And so it's a matter of getting active on any kind of transportation committee as an advisory group. It potentially could be organizing your own group to influence and have input. But it's involvement. They respond to involvement. And so when people are involved, it's when they listen.
You mentioned that the current status is 5-acre minimums. So I'm wondering what the difference is between the new designation that we're proposing, and is it possible that the board could just deny both applications and say leave it the way it is?
The answer to the second one is yes, they can do that. They could say, don't start this one, and we're not going to pass the other one. They won't do that until they go through the whole process, though. The first question about what does the Rural Heritage Estate allow, it does allow the one unit per 5 acres. So the OUE, I don't know if anybody knows their zoning, OUE is open use estate, that's one unit per 5 acres. And so a lot of the property is zoned there already. A lot of it's OUR, which ends up being a one unit per 10 acres. And then, I forget the other one. OUA is one unit per 160 acres, which is ag. This is policy, and if you have the ability to do the hamlet, you can increase the density and intensity of the property pursuant to the hamlet. The Rural Heritage doesn't allow for that to happen. That's what the change is.
Becky Ayesh, I'm the one that wrote the amendment. Here's the way that I would like for you to think about it. The first hamlet that came out in our neighborhood is Lake Park Estates, and it was 1,000 acres, and there's 400 houses and 600 acres of stormwater ponds. So it is one unit per acre, but actually it's more than that. The land is smaller because the roads are included in part of that. So yes, what we want to do is keep it at one unit per 5 acre maximum allowable density. Not everything is that way right now, but that would be the maximum allowable density. And when I did the calculations that I did to submit with this plan, I looked at the maximum allowable density, not what may or may not happen, but this is what could happen at the max, so that we would be looking at that comprehensively. Thank you.
Hi. We recently purchased land out here because we wanted this rural lifestyle and visualize ourselves ultimately as being small farmers. However, we attended the previous meeting that you hosted on Fruitville Road, and I noticed Mr. Krebs is here tonight. And I recall him saying that he was listening to us and he would be taking input from that meeting. And I'm curious what, if anything, that came out of that meeting is being rolled up relative to our concerns relevant to quality of life issues, public safety, and his plans that are continuing. Can he address that here tonight?
I would advise not to, because this is not about that amendment. The amendment that was filed, 2018 C, remains to be changing the developed area of a hamlet from one dwelling unit to two dwelling units per developed area acre. So that's still the request that has been presented in the formal application.
The concept that we learned about the super hamlet. So the concept ultimately about a super hamlet actually increasing that density fourfold is still just a vague thing at this point?
Well, that is it. It's changing it from the one dwelling unit per developed area acre to two dwelling units per developed area acre. That fundamentally, what that means is that you're going from 400 units possible from 1,000 acres, which is what Becky, I have just described with Lake Park Estates. That's what they did exactly. They had 1,000 acres and they obtained zoning for a hamlet which had 400 dwelling units on it and 600 acres of lakes and open space. So the change that I just described from one to two would change that to 400 units on 500 acres. So the 400 units would not have to be on 400 acres, it would be on 200 acres, and then you'd have the other 300 acres as open space. So you can see the difference. That's fundamentally what that change is.
Thank you. Susan Chetley again, this will be very brief. I just want to build on what Becky said. I know we're losing some people here, but I want to make it very clear for the record. Could people raise their hands if they're in favor of this amendment, which would help preserve our rural lifestyle? And for the record, I'm commenting there are a few people that didn't raise their hands, and I didn't think they would, but pretty much everybody else in attendance has, and we had at least 140 people here, maybe more. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm Stoney Damude. We moved out here recently, but I grew up in Fruitville when Fruitville was Fruitville. It was all orange groves and tangerines and... Yes, sir, Fruitville. And I finally got back out here. I grew up out here just hanging out with everybody. But one thing is when they ran the county water out in Fruitville, down my mom's street, my mom and dad's street out by Fruitville Park, they basically actually forced my mom and dad to hook up to the county, which costed them about, and this is 28 years ago, which costed them about $3,800. And that was 28 years ago. So, I mean, we had to disconnect from our well, cap our well, and hook up to them. And that's what we're worried about out here. So, that's all I got to say. I mean, that ain't good news. And I don't want them in our area, personally.
My name is Ed Lake, and I live up in Tatum off Fruitville, and we still have a little rural area right there. I live on a one-lane road on Kennedy, and we have an orange grove across the street from us, and we facing the same thing. We're seeing that they want to try to put developments in, and put water there, and we don't want to lose our well, and we don't want to lose our septic. We're facing the same thing. I'm totally for where you are, because we're facing the same thing where we are. And the traffic is horrible even where we are. So I sympathize with you totally. I'm all in favor of this amendment.
Thank you for your support.
My name's Deb McCabe, and I know we've all been going around, but I think it's important that we each voice our opinions and what we're looking for. I think we can tell by the feel in the room of how many people are supporting this. It's not just the lifestyle, but you know, our habitat preservation, the wildlife, our environment, a safe place for our kids to grow up, people to have access to riding horses and things that wouldn't happen in Sarasota County. There wouldn't be fruit, you know, stands on the side of the road and things like that if we didn't have some rural areas. And I think the county as a whole would lose out by having huge density out here. And allow the other plan to go through. So I think we really have to all get together and make sure that this 2019 plan is the one that gets up for review as soon as possible.
Thank you, Bill. I'm just taking my hat off as pastor of this church. I'm speaking as a citizen of the Olmayac community. We have some friends who are part of the Sarasota County Cattlemen's Association, and they have shared some numbers. And unfortunately, the latest numbers that I have are from 2015. They were put together by the United States Department of Agriculture along with University of Florida. And at that time, agriculture, meaning beekeepers, orange grove owners, dairies, cattle, whatever is agriculture, they contributed $15 million to Sarasota County's economic structure. And that's something we really shouldn't be losing. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to go back to the sewer and water issue. I live in Oak Fork. And we had a golf course, and it had a sewer plant, and it was in great shape for the whole time the golf course was open. As soon as the golf course closed, the county and the guy quit paying the power for the plant. The county said it needed $1 million worth of repairs, but yet they approved it every year as being okay. But all of a sudden, in 1 year, it needed over $1 million in repairs. So what they did was they ran a force main from Oak Ford all the way to, what is it, the Founders Club. That's the nearest gravity sewer, okay? You know, gravity type sewer. And they charged us like $11,000 a piece. You're talking about 153 locks, okay? And the way they did it was unusual. They charged everybody the same thing. Started out like $80 or something. It's down to now like $48. But you could have two people in your house and you're paying $48. Or you could have 10 people in your house and you're paying $48. There's no way to really charge sewers without metering the water. Okay? Because water use tells you how much goes down the drain. Okay? Unless you have an irrigation meter, that's going to separate. And that's not very fair, but that's what we had to put up with. So you guys out here might have the same issue. I mean, you're not going to have water, but you might have sewer. And all of a sudden, they're going to charge you the same as they charge a family of 10. And you might be two people. I'm two people in my house, and I pay the exact same as my next door neighbors who have. Okay, and that's not right. I mean, a meter, you can buy a meter for $90. It could be installed for maybe another $200. And then they could do it right. But the county refuses to do that, which I have no idea why. But I just want you guys to know what can happen. They can end up charging you whatever the heck they want to, because that's the way it is.
My name is Morgan, and I live in Oak Ford, been here almost 4 years now. And we came here simply because of the life that was offered, the rural country. And I'm just like to, for the record, ask these five commissioners, are they really thinking of their decisions affecting thousands of people? It may be 140 people you said here. It's going to affect thousands and thousands of people here who have no input at all to what's going on. So these five people should really think very carefully about the decision they make.
Hi, my name is Linda Schmidt, and I live here, just like the rest of you. I can't speak for everyone in the room. I know I can. I see a gentleman over there with a pink hat, and I know I'm not speaking for him. But I think it's pretty clear if you look around this room, if you really step back a little bit, I don't think anybody here really was in favor of the Hamlet designation.
No.
And I don't think anybody here wants a super Hamlet. So Bill said that the commissioners want to hear from us. They want to listen to us. They want to, you know, get input from us. I don't think there's anybody here, and correct me if I'm wrong, excuse me, Rod, but correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants this. We don't want a super Hamlet. We don't even want a regular Hamlet.
Right.
We don't want any of this. We don't want to hook up to any sewers. We have our own place. We have our own wells, our own septic. We're happy the way it is, and we would like to keep it that way. Nice. So if all 140 plus people in this room, minus one or two, would just step up and say to the commissioners, we're here, you're recording this, we don't want this, period. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Mike Hutchinson. I'm the president of the Burn Creek HOA, Homeowners Association. We had a members meeting, not a board meeting, a couple weeks ago, and our membership has voted to support this amendment.
My name is Paula Benshaw. I want to thank everybody who came, because some of you don't even live in this area, to support what we're doing for. But it's, you have to do more than just show up. You need to be writing to your planning commission. You need to be writing to your county commissioners. If you aren't on Becky's email list, get on Becky's email list, because it's not just coming to one meeting that's going to work. It's got to be that we show a big support out every single time. And like Sarasota Herald Tribune did that article where they ask everyone to vote which way do you want to do it. That's showing county commissioners how much support is for this particular amendment. And I just wanted to point out, since you say things are going on the record, that the when you're writing letters, one of the things that you want to point out is look at the application that Becky put in. There are specific things that they look at to determine whether or not they're going to vote on our side. So look at those like six or eight things that they look at and mention those specifically. The plan continuously says that they want diversity of different kinds of people and different kinds of lifestyles. The rural lifestyle is an endangered species, and there's hardly any left whatsoever in Sarasota County, just this very small part. And if you look at children growing up in the county, the ones that grow up in the city don't learn the same kinds of lifestyle that they do in the county. You aren't going to find city kids that ever grow up to be a farmer or to work in agriculture or to work on repairing machinery. Kids that grow up in the county, excuse me, in the country, have a different set of lifestyles. And if they go completely extinct in Sarasota County because there's no more agriculture land, we're going to be in trouble with the county kids.
I had a question. I heard you say that Hamlets aren't a given.
they were designated, but they still have to be approved, right?
Yes, in order to obtain hamlet zoning, you have to apply for a rezoning at the public hearing process.
Okay, I want to clarify that. Then the other thing, I spent 13 years since I read the comprehensive plan involving this area and the hamlets. And I heard something that somebody was including retention ponds and roadways. But when I read the 2050 plan, well, my understanding is that 60% of the area being developed was in a conservation easement, uninterrupted, and that didn't include roadways or retention ponds.
It does include lakes, yes. It does include lakes, which are retention.
And it can include roads if Lake Park has a road.
Yes, it has roadways that are on the comprehensive plan, which Lake Park has a north-south feed.
My name is Fred Ayers. Sorry. What I understand for the subdivision, Lake Park. So in Lake Park, you put this open lake. This is open space. And you put the road as open space. So for this, the both open space mean nothing because Google it and look at open space, mean like a scrap, nothing said about stormwater open space. So nothing said about the road is open space. The road says public domain. So it is a public service, it's not open space. So we want to know how come from public domain to turn to open space and from a stormwater pond turn to open space.
Well, it basically is just the way hamlets are written,
yeah,
and so.
The hamlet.
He's asking how they came about.
Yeah, but the word, the right word, open space is open space. You walk your dog, scrub, green, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing said about stormwater is open space. Nothing said about a road is open space. A road is public service, not open space. Now, you want to tell us parking lot is open space?
The comprehensive plan, the way it was written, the 2050 plan, is the only roads are to access the property and those roads shown on the comprehensive plan, which
yeah,
north south.
It's not. You have to take the word from open space. Because the road is not open space. The road is a public service.
I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
My name is Doug Fradley. Susan and I have lived out in Rainbow Ranches for 32 years. I worked at Oak Ford Golf Course for 16 years. Part of my job, you know, occasionally I'd have to go to High Hat. We had a treated wastewater coming from the city, 36-inch diameter pipe, and it took me about half hour to open the valve. And that's the water we used to irrigate golf course. Right? When golf course closed, the greens are shot, they're dead. The chemical imbalance from this treated wastewater, what they're calling retention ponds, I think those are going to be retention, stormwater storage ponds. If they're sucking in our crap in septic, they'll be pumping out the treated stuff because they can't put it in the bay because it'll kill all the fish. So I'm real suspicious now. We live in the Macca River Basin. So we have the Macca River, Macca State Park, the beautiful park. All that water is going to go that direction. So if the water we're filling these retention ponds, you know, like 5 acres or 4 acres of pond, really not a pond, it's a storage, you know, place. Now when we have droughts, and we do have droughts out here, we're raining today, but there's been some pretty dry years. All that water, all the ponds are going to be filled with reclaimed city water. Now this pond where the reclaimed water went into, right by the pump house, we had a 1,200 foot deep well water. That pond was scary with the stuff growing in there, and you know, I mean, you see the water and it's like, yeah, we don't want to go near it. Like alligator can even. Well, you know, it was just kind of a shame to see. Well, the golf course is dead and gone. Couldn't afford to redo everything, and you can't water it because, of, you know, grass all died. So that's a serious concern.
I'm Rod Krebs. I'd like to respond to Chris's question over there. When we had our neighborhood meeting, I promised that I would listen. And here's what I heard. We don't want any development. And I applaud your honesty for the first time. You know, there's no trading a wall for a fence with this group. And I think the process that you've started is very creative. And I welcome that we're going to all appear, present our stories side by side. Believe me, I will be at the Planning Commission meeting. And I really appreciate your courtesy. I know you don't appreciate me. I happen Great. To believe that...
Great.
Excuse me?
Be nice. No, come on. We're better than that.
We're country people. We're awesome.
I love players.
You're doing fine. So,
anyhow, we'll see everybody at the Planning Commission, and thanks for your honesty.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gail Reynolds, and I'm the conservation chair for the Sierra Club for the counties, Manatee and Sarasota County. And we support this amendment. Our board voted to support this amendment. And I'd like to go back to an issue raised a little earlier on a needs assessment on growth and development. How is the county, since the Growth Management Act was overturned, and how is the county determining needs, and who's doing that?
That would be part of the comprehensive plan amendment analysis. So when the board says what they want us to do with this amendment, we would analyze that question. This is actually potentially reducing units from this property from 2,400 to 1,200. The other application increases it from 4,800. So that's a different question. Add more, there's other impacts. The question on that one is, does the county need that additional residential capacity? And that's one of the questions that has to be analyzed. Yes, it'll be done through the Planning and Development Department. On the private amendment, there's input that is required to be provided to the county, and the county review that. On a publicly initiated amendment, it is staff that would actually receive some kind of analysis on that.
Good evening. My name is Tommy Gregory. I probably annoyed all of you with campaign signs up and down Fruitville Road last year. Unfortunately, I'm not your county commissioner, but I'm your state rep. I can't really have any influence on this process. You're probably hoping that I can, but I'll tell you that I live in Bird Creek with Mike up there and several of my neighbors. Obviously, I moved out here for a reason as well. What I can do is talk about Fruitville Road because I also represent all the way to the Hillsborough County line. And for those of you that travel those roads, 675, 70, 64, you know we're having the same problem. So I will tell you that I hear your concerns. I drive Fruitville Road every day as well, and I'll be working with FDOT on that. But I'll also make sure, who is it that's collecting emails?
Becky.
Okay, so I'll make sure Becky has my email, and she shares it with all of you so that I can work the transportation piece for all of you and for my family as well.
And with that, I would like to... We're already about 15 minutes beyond the hour. I know there's probably a lot of people that still have questions, but does anybody here that hasn't spoken yet that would like to speak?
Do you by any chance have a slide that shows the next
step bullet points that are required so we can begin to speak towards those?
Yeah, that was one of the earlier slides, and I'll turn to it.
I just wanted to say, when I moved out here, I just kind of assumed that it was all 5 acre and that was it. So, but just seeing what's happening at the library, the first stages of what's coming this way just freaked me completely out. You know, they call that a stormwater retention pond, but they just basically killed everything in it just to make that lake bigger. I called the news companies and they came out, did a story on it, but the county said, oh, we're going to fill it back in, no harm done, and it was gone, you know. The birds on the right-hand side that we always used to see in the ditch, all the roseate spoonbills and the beautiful birds gone. When I called the county about it, they said that there's no wildlife protection code, so that just means that anything coming east with the development, they can fill in, you know, water areas and just bury everything in there. They can just kind of do a lot of things that I don't think we would want. So I just want to support this. I want to support going. The county listens to people, I guess, in the twice a week or something, or twice a month in the beginning, and then Becky's got other meetings to come attend. So just get involved and do everything you can. Thank you.
I also want to remind everyone that they should sign in. Again, that's part of the record for this meeting. It's an important part of the record. So please sign in. It's not an indication of whether you support or refute this application. It's just a record of the attendance. Again, is there anybody here that hasn't spoken before?
I did speak once before, but I just wanted to say something. Everybody thinks this is just for us. It's not just for us. There's a lot of people that come by our rural area from the city, and they love seeing our cows, they love seeing our horses, they love seeing our barns, they love the walk in the country, they love going past our places from the city because they don't get that. This, I just wondered, just a question. Does the commissioners appreciate the cultural aspects of the country like we do and other people from the city that come out here? Do they consider that as a benefit?
I can't really answer that. I'm not exactly sure what their position is. It is policy. The rural heritage estate is existing policy. It's actually what's on this land we're in right here. So this is not unheard of. The county does have lands, doesn't it?
I just asked Bill if I could say a final word, and mostly housekeeping. If we could get some help putting these chairs up before you get out of here, we'd really appreciate it. They go in this closet.
Bill.
I'd like to thank everybody that came. It's very helpful to get input. It's always helpful to be hearing what everyone has to say.
Thank you, Bill.